Ladies and gentlemen.
System load.
The Kelly Mano Show.
We're on a mission from God.
Is on the air. Is on the air.
Are there any questions before we proceed?
Radio signal from another world.
In three.
What would you be waiting for?
Hello,
kids. Let's go.
Two.
Start the show. What?
One.
Oh, hey there. Our microphones were already on before.
Oh, sweet.
We are so professional. Like that. Is it 7:30 yet? Are we actually? Yeah, look at us. We're on time, too.
That's a first also.
It's amazing. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Kelly Mano Radio Podcast. I am here with my best friend, Hoss.
Yo.
And producer Stephanie is not here. She is on vacation.
Lucky.
Somewhere relaxing far, far away from the circus that is the Kelly Mano Show. But my husband's going to come in and help us run the ship. We've got a great show coming up for you later today. Or later in the show. You know, we like to keep things lighthearted around here.
Especially today.
Once in a while, serious things come along and they need to be talked about. And today's one of them. So if you have seen the show on Netflix called 13 Reasons, you are going to enjoy this next segment. If you haven't, you're going to learn a lot about it. So over the weekend, we had a great time.
Yeah.
I got to go see Hoss's side of the world.
Yeah, yes, you did.
So Hoss, it's so funny because I never actually know what you do for a living.
Right.
Somebody was like, you know, I posted that I was at the Highly Suspect show and people were like, oh my God, I love them so much. And then I was like, yeah, Hoss is like their like dad or something. Like, he pretty much wrangles rock stars for a living.
That's a lot of what I do. That's not a lie.
And what I realized, so we were backstage for Highly Suspect, mm-hmm. and my husband and I were back there, and you were back there, and what I realized is that being a rock star wrangler is not that different than being a parent of kids.
No.
Because it's like, you know, every 5 minutes, it's like somebody was missing, somebody overslept, and somebody can't find their pants.
Pretty much.
I'm like, this is my house. Were you even there when one of the guys couldn't find their pants?
Yeah.
Like, some guy walks out in, like, yellow underwear, and he looks at me, he's like, hey, do you know where laundry is? And I'm like, no, but somebody else did, and laundry was, like, across the
right.
stage.
He's that
like,
was
well,
Johnny.
He's like, well, how am I going to get my pants? If my pants are over there, you're going to walk across the stage. But, like, the stuff that goes on yeah. backstage, it's like, hey, you need to sign this, you need to go here, you need to go there.
Yeah, it's organized chaos.
It really is, because it's also the verge of, like, the same thing with toddlers, is that you need them to do stuff, but you don't want to cross the line and cause a meltdown.
Yep.
You've got to walk a fine line of, like, being on their team, but keeping them in line. But the show was sold out, and the band did amazing.
The band was great. And the other thing that you don't realize until you've gotten into it a while is, while that's, you know, 9:30 at night for us, they're just getting their day going. That's like breakfast time for them.
I about died whenever I like looking at my clock. I'm like, okay, they go on at like 9 o'clock. I'm like, I'll be home and in bed by da da da. And like right then, one of the guys from the band comes walking through with like sleep marks on his face.
Yeah.
Like he had just woke up at 9 o'clock at night.
Yep.
I can't even picture that life.
They usually, they'll get up, like they usually get into town. They drive over, well, they don't drive, but the mm-hmm. bus drives overnight. They typically will get into a town around noon.
Yeah.
Load in. They may get up if they have stuff to do that day and have something to eat. But for the most part, they're vampires.
Yeah.
Like, they'll sleep most of the day, get up
right.
around, like, 6, start to, you know, shake the cobwebs off, do their show. And their show is, like, their work day.
Yes,
so then they
is.
Get done, and when everyone else is going to bed, they're ready to have fun and hang
they
out
are.
Because that's their evening.
And I got to say, I loved the band. I
They're
really,
good.
Really did. Because, you know, I'm a rap girl. So,
yeah.
you know, rap girl going to a rock show isn't usually a good mix. But what I loved about Highly Suspect was that even though they're a rock band, like, you can understand what they're saying. And there's
yep.
actually, like, melody to the songs. And I had texted Hoss earlier that day because I knew they're two big hits. But
mm-hmm.
I was like, send me, like, two or three other songs that I can listen to that I'll know at the show tonight.
Right.
And I loved everything you sent me. So
yeah. It's interesting, and you mentioned, you know, that you're a hip-hop girl. This band is signed to 300, which
yeah.
is a hip-hop label for
right.
the most part. Like, it's Fetty Wap and a bunch of those guys. So, and it's headed by
yeah.
Lior Cohen, who's been a hip-hop mogul for
yeah.
for decades. So here we are with this band that's kind of taking over rock right now, and they're signed to a rap label.
Yeah, and they've already been nominated for, what, two
three
Grammys?
Three Grammys and two albums.
So if you're not listening to Highly Suspect, you really should be.
Yeah.
Their two big songs were Lydia and My Name is Human. But if there's, like, another song that you would want listeners to, like, Google, what would it be?
If you like really cool videos, you should YouTube the video for Blood Feather, all one word.
Right.
If you want just other songs, the next song that's going to go to radio is a song called Little One,
yeah,
which is kind of a mid-tempo song.
Yeah.
But really, like, if you have Spotify or anything like that, and if you like kind of bluesy-based guitar rock,
yeah,
just go and listen to either of the two albums.
What was it? Did you just say the blues?
Yes.
Did you say bluesy?
I did.
What did you say about the blues? Something? Ugh. This Saturday, I thought I was going to have an absolute meltdown watching that game.
Yeah, when it got tied, I was a little concerned.
I was...
The band just retreated Rocky's picture.
Oh, they did? Yeah. That's awesome. We had some friends over to watch the game, and they didn't... like, she's not a big sports fan, and she didn't understand how, like, in the third period, we're all standing up, like a foot from the TV.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, what are you guys doing? You can see the TV from your couch. I'm like, right. But I can't sit still.
No.
And it was... I was at my friend's house for the last game, and I was sitting, like, Indian style, like, 2 feet from their little tube TV, and just, oh, my God. Thank God we advanced.
It's I said it beforehand. It doesn't seem like it's a 5-game series because usually when you hear, "Oh yeah, we won in 5," you feel like you kicked the other team's butt pretty
right.
good. And this was quite the opposite. Like aside from goals scored, Minnesota kind of took it to the Blues every game.
I mean, according to Bruce Butthurt Boudreaux, what's his name?
That's right, Bruce Boudreaux.
Yeah, Bruce Butthurt. The better team did not win.
Well, they're using the Minnesota won the popular vote.
Why don't you cry about it, saddlebags?
Right, exactly.
You can kiss our
ass.
Why don't
you cry about it?
We'll see you from the next round. So next is Nashville, which normally would not scare me in their ugly yellow helmets. But
it scares me the way they beat the crap out of the Blackhawks.
Holy cow. And whoa, the balls on Gatorade. Have you seen their commercial?
Uh-uh.
So I heard about this, and I didn't know anything about it. And then I saw it again. Their Gatorade is running this commercial during the playoffs.
Okay.
And it's your typical Gatorade, like, pump-up commercial athletes. But the entire commercial is surrounded around the Blackhawks beating the Blues. They, like, hired fake people to be in Blues uniforms.
Really?
And it's showing the Blues, like, choking and, like, missing shots and stuff.
Interesting.
And it's the it's the real Blackhawks playing, but they there's, like, actors playing the part of the St. Louis Blues.
Well, what that tells me is A, Gatorade knows a good rivalry when they see it, and B, they're trying to capitalize off of, let's face it, what's essentially the Yankees of the NHL right now, which is the Chicago Blackhawks.
Well, they got it wrong.
But boy, did they miss the boat in picking the year to run that commercial, the year that the Blackhawks bow out in 4.
Boy, do they look stupid running it right now.
Yeah.
If I were in charge of Gatorade, I'd be pulling that crap the minute they choked.
They should. They should have had a contingency plan in place to at least have a generic commercial.
No, and especially, I don't know, when you're Gatorade and you sponsor the whole league like that, I just don't think you take shots at a certain team.
Yeah, I mean, it sort of depends on if there was, you know, a guy who was the center of it, like if there's an endorsement, if it was around Kane or Taze, because remember, Michael Jordan was the face of Gatorade forever, so there was always Chicago Bulls commercials with Gatorade.
Yeah, so, you
but,
know...
ha-ha, Gatorade, you picked a loser.
You. I'll be drinking Powerade from now on, thank you very much. So, I've had it with Richard Simmons.
What now? I liked the podcast.
I did, too. So, you know, I've always been a Richard Simmons fan, and then the podcast came out, and he was missing, and I was all worried about him like everybody else, and he still has not really publicly commented other than through people, but Richard Simmons has officially jumped the shark with me. He apparently needed to see a doctor over the week and, like, had to go to the emergency room or a doctor or something. So he goes to the hospital. Mm. And, you know, the press finds out. So the paparazzi are, like, staked outside of his house.
Of course.
So he comes home from the hospital and won't get out of his car until the police come to escort him from his car to his front door or his garage door. And then, like a freaking weirdo, he's wandering with a blanket over his head.
That's
while
very Michael
people
Jackson-esque.
Are guiding him around. And I'm like, you have now jumped the shark. If you are, like, he waited in a hot car for, like, 45 minutes.
That to me screams social anxiety. Like, that's a Michael Jackson move right
there. That is a Michael Jackson. Next thing you know, he's going to be dangling his housekeeper over the balcony.
Yeah.
You know? Help, Teresa! Help! Oh. So, yeah, if you've not seen the video of Richard Simmons, of them trying to get him from his car to his house with a blanket over his head, is freaking ridiculous. And the fact that any of our police officers had to waste their time with his crap because he couldn't walk 20 feet without a blanket over his head, without help. There was a helicopter.
Was there anyone that got a good facial shot of him?
No, somebody got a shot of, like, his temple and forehead. And then other than that, it was just
I wonder if there's, like, something going on in the face.
Well, I thought he gained weight. but it doesn't seem like it. A lot of people thought maybe he was transitioning, which...
Whatever.
That's fine, but why hide it at this point? You know, you're Richard Simmons. Yeah,
I mean...
If Barry Manilow can come out, Richard Simmons is safe.
yeah, I would say so.
We're good to go. And then, also over the weekend, so Libby Lou has been in soccer season.
Yeah.
And, you know, my kids, they're too cute for their own good.
Yes.
Especially Libby Lou. Nobody can say no to her. And I remember being like at a carnival.
And if they do, they'll soon regret it.
Yeah, we were at a carnival last summer. The carnival we're going to be going to this year, the Granite City Carny, where Haas and I are going to be celebrity I dude it callers. We will be.
Sweet.
I'll explain that all in a few weeks.
All right.
But like, we'll go to this carnival and Libby Lou's like, I want to play the bottle rocket game. And I try to explain to her, like, these games are set up to fail.
Right.
And I'll give her $3 and she'll come out with literally the biggest prize on the thing. And I'm like, how did you get that? She's like, he just gave it to me and told me, shh. And
right.
I'm like, okay. And so we go to Home Depot over the weekend because we're doing stuff to our house and everything. And Libby Lou is in line with us and she's wanting to buy this candy.
Okay.
It's like a push pop or whatever. But she's getting ice cream after her soccer game. So we're like, no, you can't have the candy. And she starts doing the puppy dog face, which I'm like immune to.
You're
at
like,
this
whatever.
Point. And so is Jimmy, you know. But she's like, I really just want this piece of candy. And I guess the worker thought we were just mean parents because he didn't know she was getting ice cream later. And the guy, he was like, what, Jimmy, like 20 years old?
Probably.
He's like, hey, man, I can't handle seeing her like that. I'll pay for the candy.
Wow.
The 20-year-old was buying Libby Lou her candy at Home Depot because of her puppy dog face.
That's cool. But also, if I was a parent, I'd be like, dude, you don't know what's going on behind the scenes.
Yeah, he goes, can she please just have it, please? I'll pay for it.
Wow.
Like, it was bothering him that she was so distraught.
Wow.
So, but anyway, so we are going to be joined next by two people that are a lot smarter than you and I.
Yes.
We are going to be talking about a new show on Netflix called 13 Reasons. Which Haas texted me today. He goes, I hate you so much for making me watch this. How many episodes did you make it through?
I watched most of it.
Oh, did you? Because I was like, just watch like the first two episodes.
And then I watched it to the point where I was like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And then I watched the end. And then I went online and found a really good review that broke down each episode and each person who was called out in the tapes.
I had to watch it twice to just understand what, you know.
I'm sorry.
So much was going on. But so we're going to be talking about that. We've got guests in here. We're going to do two whole segments on it. If you want to text in, our number is 1-314-300-3771. That is our text in line. We would love to hear what you thought about the show 13 Seasons, 13 Reasons.
That's about how long it felt.
We'll be right back. It's the Kelly Mano Show. With the folk to find cutie pie, get by the tie, the smalls by her side. If you mess with her, you got to mess with me. And we'll be rapping at your eulogy, baby. Lay on Mac, Mac. As you listen to the B-side. Lay on Mac, Mac. Rat-tat-tat. I got the funk in my pocket, keep it locked down to show that you know who represent them platinum sounds. Now baby Biggie, I done heard that juicy, didn't find nothing but truth in the hook. Be a pleasure to wreck with a notorious hustler ready to die. I jumped in the Benz, took me a little ride round the mountain, broke a left hit so deaf and told the homie JD I was the one. Buck the rest, we funk the fire, kicking it live. Robin Leach teaching me how to really survive, whether it be track or blunt, ain't no need to front. Got what you need and I'll take everything you ever wanted. Knuckle, we come in mass, it's pippin' ass, it's glass, it's full of Moet, the Rolex is Barbade, Parquet, B to the R-A-T, rolling off swole on Chrome 17.
Ladies, dance is the new yoga. If you're interested in a new and exciting place to move your body, have fun, and make new friends, look no further than Sacred Movement. Sacred Movement is a warm, safe, and inviting studio that will help you discover your inner goddess. They offer a variety of feminine movement classes, meditation classes, women's workshops, and monthly red tent gatherings. For more information or to register for classes, visit them on the web at sacredmovementstudio.com or call 314-398-8184. Be sure and mention you heard it on The Kelly Mano Show. Sacred Movement, where women go for dance, community, and empowerment.
Hey guys, Kelly Mano here with The Kelly Mano Show. We just celebrated our 1 year anniversary of the radio show, and I am as surprised as anybody that we're still here and still going. But not only are we going, but we are growing. We are putting out more content and more shows than ever before, which means for the first time in a long time, we have room for new advertisers. If you run a business and you are interested in having that business heard on The Kelly Mano Show, we can get you some more information. New York Magazine recently said podcasts are to radio as Netflix is to cable. Unlike a traditional radio listener, your podcast listeners set aside time in their day to listen to The Kelly Mano Show. They aren't flipping through the channels or changing it when a commercial comes on. They are a captive audience. They are a dedicated audience, and your message is heard loud and clear. Podcast advertising is not only affordable, but the return on investment that you get is unlike any other medium. So if you would like a sales package, just send an email over to heykelly@kellymano.com, and producer Stephanie will get you all the information you need to team up with The Kelly Mano Show.
Come on!
Mondays suck a little bit less.
Because The Kelly Mano Show is on the air.
It's just one of them days when I want to be all alone. It's just one of them days when I gotta be all alone. It's just one of them days.
All right, you are listening to the Kelly Mano Radio Podcast, and we have two guests in studio. We have Christina Kirsting, and we have Dave Lewis here. Can you guys say hi?
Hi.
All right, so Christina, you have to get third date close with your microphone.
Okay.
Yep.
There you go. Dave, let me see what date you're on. Why does my husband have that pointed at your forehead? Oh, my goodness. I'll just turn yours up really, really loud. So first of all, welcome to the show, you guys. Thanks. And I know that I reached out to you guys kind of by Facebook because...
Can you hear him? Because I can't.
No, but I'm going to have him move a little bit closer.
Okay.
You're just going to have to get really... There you go. Poor Dave.
I'm just making sure.
We should.
As long as it's on there, that's cool.
Oh, yeah, it's on here. Hi, Jimmy. Can you help Dave with his microphone? Will it go any lower?
I can't, but...
Dave, say your ABCs for us.
That's the least of the concerns for me.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
Nope, he needs to be louder. Okay, now say your ABCs.
A, B, C, D, E,
F, G. There we go.
All right.
A professional show would do that before we got on the
air.
That's not us. So I kind of watch Netflix during the day when I'm doing... That's my earrings.
All right.
I have to take them out when I put on my headphones because
it
hurts.
That makes sense.
So I watch some stuff on Netflix and... So I heard about this show called 13 Reasons, and I think I kind of started watching it, and then I stopped, and then like some kind of hubbub started about it, and I started paying attention again, because mental health groups everywhere are absolutely outraged over a new Netflix series called 13 Reasons. So the show follows the weeks and months leading up to the suicide of a high school student named Hannah Baker. Now, in lieu of leaving a suicide note, Hannah leaves behind 13 tapes addressed to a different person or to different people that she thought were instrumental in her decision to kill herself. Now, we have Christina Kirsting here. She has her PhD in family therapy, also a certified trainer in assessing and managing suicide risk. Dave Lewis is 20-plus years as a social worker in the high school environment, currently working for the Edwardsville School District, which, you know, is also where my brother works. How's my brother doing?
He's rocking it today.
You probably see him more than I do. So we wanted to have some people in.
Don't make a living of making fart jokes like us?
Yes, who are smarter than Hoss and I. Because I will give you, let's just go around the horn and say what we thought about the show. The first thing I thought about the show was that it was very cheesy after school, especially the actress Hannah. Most of the other ones I could kind of handle, but it was just, she seemed so awkward, like, and now I'm outside your window, and can you hear my heartbeat? To me, the cheesiness took away from the authenticity of it, because high school is not like that. High school is not quick, witty one-liners. High school is awkward and weird, and so, you know, I really hated the show at first. As we got into it, I started really liking a couple of the other characters. You know, Clay, I thought he had like an interesting character. And really for me, I was drawn to the parents because I am soon to be the parent of a teenager. Rocky's going to be 13 this year, which is insane. But for me, the thing that the show really got right was the disconnect between parents and kids, because what I saw was Hannah's parents so busy with their own adult problems, because they run like a pharmacy and like this new Walmart has moved in and it's taken all of their business and they've got really heavy stuff going on that they're not even seeing what's going on in their daughter's lives, or they're dismissing their daughter's problems as minuscule or not important. And I saw a lot of parents in the show do that, including, you know, Clay's parents and everyone's else. So I thought it was a little bit cheesy. A lot of people complained that it was too graphic, especially the suicide scene at the end, you know, showing kids how to do it. You can learn that on Google. That doesn't bother me. Yep. Haas, what did you think of the show?
Well, you had it right with the cheese factor.
Yeah.
I remember watching the first episode and going, I feel like I'm in an ABC after school special that won't end.
Right.
I agree with your assessment of Hannah. I also think that Clay is the most stereotypical. I think every character in this show is the most stereotypical version of that type of person from school you could have.
Yeah.
Be it the awkward outcast of Clay, or the jock, or the drama geek, or whatever. Like, everybody is that personality cranked to 11.
Right.
So for me, I was like, come on, man.
Yeah.
And then like as the show went on, I had the same problem with it that I had with like the movie Armageddon or a couple of other movies where it's like not every person in your life is going to screw you over. And it's like every man in this poor girl's life treats her like crap.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
That's... Like, I get it. I get that you have to push the story down.
Right.
But at some point, there's got to be a balance somewhere. Like, every person in this girl's life screws
fails her
over, yeah. fails her somehow.
Yeah.
And I also felt like, and I feel like this sort of storytelling really started with the movie Juno.
I love Juno.
Where everything has to be quick and quirky and quippy and like...
That's not how real life
her is. Her narration of the tapes of like, we'll get through this together. Oh, by the way, I'm still dead. Like, come on, man. Come on.
It was cheesy. So, Christina, what was your overall thoughts on the show? Did you like it? Did you hate it?
I loved it.
You did?
I did. But I think I have a different perspective from Haas.
I'm sure.
Well, I work with mostly teenagers.
Sure.
I work with a lot of families. I work with parents. And... I don't know if you're around a lot of teenagers, but they are all...
Legally, I'm not allowed to be.
Oh, he's lying.
That's cool. But they really are those stereotypical versions, and they are all cranked up, and they're all dramatic, and they are all... I mean, that is their life.
So you feel like it was a more accurate representation?
Absolutely. I mean,
wow.
Every week when a kid comes, and I say kid loosely, it could be because now we're seeing teenagers who are really like 11, but they're acting like they're 18 because of social media and everything else. And I do. I think that's how they act. I think that's what they're going through. That's what they're struggling with. And they... So many of my clients, you would not believe, have come in and been like, oh my God, did you see it? Did you see it? I'm like, Yeah, I've had the book on my bookshelf for, you know, the last 11 years. I didn't even know
it was a book. Right. Probably because I don't read them, but that might have something to do with it. But so it was a book first.
Right.
Same title?
Yeah, 13 Reasons Why.
Yeah.
Yes, by Jay Asher. And it came out in 2006. And when that happened, the field of suicidology blew up too. They were totally against it. And I was still like, this is great. Why are we dismissing it? This is getting the conversation started. And so, yeah, I'm very, very happy that this was created.
So Dave Lewis, what did you think about 13 Reasons?
Real similar. I can pick out of those characters in there at least five or six people just walking down the hall.
Wow.
You're this one, you're that one, you're this one. And they are so power charged that awkwardness and that quirkiness is just how they are.
Yeah.
You know, one of the other things is for a couple of years I worked at a elementary school also, and all that bullying and all that starts down in that third grade level.
Wow.
I mean, even I had, we went around and did some talks to all the classrooms and we asked them, what types of bullying are there?
Mm-hmm.
Seven out of 10 times, the first thing this fifth grader said was cyberbullying.
Yeah.
That was the first thing that, you know, it wasn't the knocking him down on the plate.
Yeah.
It was that complex. And in the movie, I think they did a good job of going how quick these things happen.
Well, so the first thing that happens is there's a girl, Hannah, goes on a date with a boy and she goes down a slide. And when she does, her skirt comes up and he takes a photo of it and shows it to a buddy who then sends it around school,
right,
and kind of makes it into this rumor that it wasn't. And so I think that my generation of parents, like, I feel so bad for the parents who are about 5 or 6 years older than me, because this cyber thing kind of came out of nowhere for them. For me, I'm prepared for it. Rocky is my oldest, and he did not get any kind of social media until he turned 12. And he was literally the last kid of his friends to get it or have a phone. And I have his password to everything. He knows that is my phone, not his. And so I try to protect him from that. I also try to toughen my kids up a little bit and let them know that there's a difference between teasing and bullying. Just because somebody made fun of the hockey team that you like, or because somebody, you know, you can't go running and screaming the word bully every time somebody.
Agreed.
Okay. So I kind of laid that out for my kids too. But the cyberbullying I have not had to deal with yet. Thank God, but I know it's probably coming. And so kids are dealing with this as early as third grade.
Yes, I mean, that's...
I agree.
Yeah. Why does a third grader have a Facebook page?
Well, but here's the thing. So now, even if you get an iPod, right, an iPod Touch, if you're on Wi-Fi,
you can text, you can get Messenger,
all
the apps,
you can do all those things.
Yeah. There's so many
and
options.
And so, you know, tablets and all these different electric devices, mm-hmm, are providing all these young people,
right,
with access to even Netflix. I'm sure the third graders have watched this show.
Sure. And that is the one thing. Like, I graduated high school in 95, and that's the one thing. Luckily, I mean, I think every kid to an extent, mm-hmm, go through some degree of bullying. I was fairly popular in school. I didn't have to deal with it a ton. But the one thing that my generation had the luxury of is when we got to go home, we got to go home. And that was a sanctuary. Like, you didn't have to answer a phone if you didn't want, right, to, and there was no social media or anything like that. Like, when you were home, you were safe.
Right.
You know, you answered calls from your friends or talked to your friends.
And, yeah,
and kids nowadays don't have that luxury. And I get it. It's easy to say just unplug, but your curiosity is going to get to you.
Well, it's like a drug because, mm-hmm, you know, our daughter Lucy is a little actress, and she had been begging for this app called Musical.ly for a long time. Oh, and with me, my kids don't get any social media until they're 12 years old, and then it's like Instagram only. And so with Lucy, I looked at this Musical.ly thing, and I always install it on my own phone first. And I'm like, okay, this is cute. Like, they just make little videos, like music videos. And so I gave her some rules, and I said, if there's ever a word in it that you don't know what that word is, you have to come show it to me first because it might be inappropriate. So I let her start making these little videos, and she loves it. It is right up her alley. But what I didn't realize was that Musical.ly actually is a social media, mm-hmm. and you can get likes on your videos. And so at just the age of 9 years old, she's like, Mom, look, my Musical.ly already has 40 likes. And it was like a dagger in my heart. I'm like, what am I done to my child? Like, this is everything I'm trying to keep her from, is that none of that matters.
Yeah.
But even us as adults, I think, feed into it. You know, opening your phone. Well, I guess we don't open our phones anymore. it's a drug. It's a dopamine kick in or something to see, oh, look, somebody liked something of mine, or somebody,
especially if it's someone that you have an interest in.
And so now I'm at the point where I'm debating taking Musical.ly away from Lucy, because
you will kill your daughter.
I know. Because I know that she's using it for the most innocent of reasons, but, you know, she's a girl and I've got to protect her from all those mean bitches out there.
Well, and not just that. Potentially predators,
right?
No offense. I'm not trying to freak you out more, but
no. Trust me, I know that there's definitely a lot of predators out there. But the good news is that my kids are kind of still attached to my umbilical cord. I have not yet to cut the cord with any of my kids, and they don't seem to mind that. Like, they don't really spend the night places. They don't go many places without me. Do you guys have teenagers?
I do not.
Mine are past teens.
Yours are past teens. Would you recommend the show 13 Reasons to people who have teenagers?
Absolutely. And what I've been encouraging my clients and my friends who have been texting me and calling me, like, what do you think about this? Is saying, watch it with them as parents. You know, they're going to watch it anyway. Mm-hmm. You should be informed, and you should be there with them while they're experiencing these things. Because if it does trigger any mental health concerns, you can see it, and then you can get them assistance for those concerns.
What do you think about, because what I, the thing that I thought that the show got wrong was that it seemed to like glamorize the idea of suicide.
100%.
It made, and I looked something up online. Okay, so I'm one of those people who says everything that comes out of my mouth.
Sure, you're good.
Even people who like think it but don't say it out loud. When I was in high school, I was never considered suicidal. I don't have any history of depression or anything like that. But I can remember as a teenager thinking, like, if I killed myself, I would get so much attention. Like, and I guess, is it called suicide? What was it? Suicide ideation?
Suicidal ideation.
Suicidal. So that's a thing. Yeah. I think that it crosses all kids' minds, like to the point where I would even lay in bed at night and think about my funeral and be like, oh my goodness, everybody would miss me so much. And as a kid growing up, I needed unnecessary amounts of attention. So that may be why. But I know I'm not alone in that even though I never actually considered it or was never suicidal, there was that thought in my head of, if I ever killed myself, I would be famous at this school. And what do you think about the show playing into that role?
You know, I've heard that a number of times. And the kids who are truly suicidal or truly struggling with that, that's the last thing that they want to have happen. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so for them to say it's romanticized, it's almost like, the way I've had it explained is, if we had all the options of how you could deal with your life and your struggles, mm-hmm. and we wrote them all on a whiteboard in front of us, and we just slowly erase some of them, get involved in this, take drugs, exercise more, and suicide being one of them, slowly it just narrows for them. And so it's not romanticized, it's they're losing their options.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so they're struggling. So there was one part in the show where she said several times, I'm giving them one last chance. I'm giving somebody one last chance. Mm-hmm. And I've had several of those, fortunately, unfortunately, mm-hmm. I don't know how you want to put it, where I've had that student come in and go, okay, I'm gonna talk to you about this.
Right.
And so there was never romanticized. If anything, it brought up the idea of, I need to talk to somebody.
Right.
I agree. You know, and I was just going to say, we're talking about suicide and how it is displayed in this series, I guess is what we're calling it.
Yeah.
But, you know, like I always say, the movie The Incredibles, there's a suicide attempt in that.
Oh, there is?
Nobody remembers that. The guy jumps off the building to try and kill himself. Mr. Incredible flies in and saves him. He sues Mr. Incredible, and Mr. Incredible has stopped being a superhero. We are exposing very young children to suicide through cartoons.
Sure.
What about The Virgin Suicides? What about Prozac Nation? What about Girl Interrupted? What about Dead Poets Society? I mean, I could go on and on about movies that have suicide in it. What I like about this film is that they show that it hurts. She winces. You see it happen. Most of the other movies, you skip that part. And I like that there's real pain associated with this.
Wow, because that was kind of the part that a lot of people were kind of hating on, was that they're like, this is a step-by-step guide for a kid of how to kill themselves.
Which also, the percentage of individuals who die by suicide by cutting is like less than 1%. 56% is by firearms. Do we want to do something about that?
Right. And to be honest, it's not like like this show exposed that people kill themselves by slitting their wrists. That's right. Been around a very, very long right. time.
Very long time.
Right.
I did like a lot of the pain that they showed that her family went through, mm-hmm. Because that is... I had a friend who was going to kill herself, and she had actually taken a bunch of pills, and she said that the thing that came into her mind was she was picturing her mom telling other people mm-hmm. that her daughter had killed herself, and she went and made herself throw up. And so, you know, I think that was one thing that the show probably got right, was showing the pain that the parents go through, mm-hmm. And the mom not even being able to function at some points. Right. But we're going to take a quick break. We've got more to come back and talk about. Haas, what's our text line? Did we lose it?
No, I put it on one of your papers.
But see, if you give stuff to me...
300 something.
If you give stuff to me, I lose it.
It's under there.
Oh.
Here it is.
Oh, yeah, 314-300-3771. I remembered it.
We need to just write it down on somewhere besides yes. a Post-it. We will be right back. Christine and Dave are going to stick around with us for another segment. And if you want to text in, call in, reach us on Facebook, we'd love to hear what you're thinking. We'll be right back. It's the Kelly Mano Show.
In the mirror and not recognize the person looking back at you? Wish you could go back in time and reverse the signs of aging? Then you need to schedule a free consultation at Aurora Medical Spa. Now with two locations in DePere and the Chesterfield Valley, Aurora Medical Spa is St. Louis's premier medical spa. Ranked the number one Botox provider in the St. Louis area, offering the most advanced and effective skin procedures. Other services include laser hair removal, tattoo removal, skin resurfacing, microdermabrasion, and much, much more. Consultations are always free. You have nothing to lose. except a few wrinkles. Visit their website to see amazing before and after transformations at auroramedicalspa.com. Mention the Kelly Mano Show and get $20 off your first visit. That's www.auroramedicalspa.com. Aurora Medical Spa. We take skin seriously.
Looking to buy or sell a home? Join the crowd that's moving with Rachel and the Rachel Witt team at RE/MAX. With over 14 years of experience, Rachel is an expert and will guide you every step of the way. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or looking to upgrade, Rachel Witt makes the home buying experience fun again. Interested in building instead of buying? She can help you with that too. Make sure to visit her website, homesalesinstcharles.com, where the MLS listings are updated daily. Or you can call her at 636-720-3836. Tell her Kelly Mano sent you. Join the crowd that's moving with Rachel and the Rachel Witt team at RE/MAX and start browsing for your dream house now at homesalesinstcharles.com.
The older she gets,
the more she understands Britney's 2007 meltdown.
Back once again.
It's the Kelly Mano Show.
Like we always do with this time, I go for mine, I get to shine. Now throw your hands up in the sky.
Remember when Kanye was normal and made good music
for, one
like
record?
5 minutes?
Yep.
There's two, because it was Jesus Walks, like that era, and then this, and then the Fart City. So we are here with Christina Kirsting and Dave Lewis, who both work mental health, social worker fields. We're talking about the show 13 Reasons. If you've not heard of this show, everybody is going to be talking about this show within a matter of weeks. We just happen to be ahead of the trend here on the Kelly Mano Show. We have a listener on the line. Angie is here, and she wants to tell us what she thought of the show. Hey, Angie.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you? So what did you think of, first of all, are you a parent?
Yes, I am.
Of how old?
My son is 16.
So tell us what you thought about 13 Reasons.
I think that I enjoyed it. I think it is something that, as a parent, it is something we need to become more aware of in our children.
So you weren't offended by any of it? You didn't think it was too graphic or any of the scenes were too graphic?
No, I mean, the last two episodes are a little graphic because it does touch based on a rape scene.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was a lot of, it does have a lot of adult content in it, and I do think that it is for a little bit more of a mature audience.
Right. I'm surprised.
I think more towards high school.
Yeah.
Maybe junior high school. I don't recommend that having
But yeah,
so, your younger child watching it.
I hear you. Thank you so much for the call, Angie. I know that I definitely would not recommend it for the younger kids, like the junior high age, because at that point they're a hot mess of hormones.
Right.
At least by high school and older, like Rocky's nowhere near being old enough to watch this show.
The one thing she said was it does have a lot of adult content in it. So does being a teenager.
Right, because I mean, really, we glamorize and we, I mean, if you think about the movies our kids watch from, you know, we glamorize everything from murders to car racing to fight clubs. I mean, there's not anything that isn't exaggerated in Hollywood. And so really, I mean, there is a really graphic, two really graphic rape scenes, one more than the other in the show. But I don't think that's any worse than anything your kids are seeing in rated R movies.
I agree. The only thing that I said is I like that there's a trigger warning before the episodes. I don't know if
that's
you
right.
noticed that. The only thing that I wish following those scenes, in particular the rape scenes, and then also the scene where she dies by suicide, is if there were resources at the end. Like if they had put the National Suicide Hotline number up there or the number for Hope, where they could call if they've experienced a rape, something along those
you
lines.
You know what they did do that a lot of people missed was there was an after show special. Did you guys see that? So there was a bonus episode where all of the actors as their real selves, sat around and talked about the show. And so that was kind of like a reach out, but it was kind of like a hidden episode. And so if you haven't seen that yet, go back and find that. It's under like trailers and more. Like it's the very last thing where you can kind of see the counselor or see the actors talk about the show. And, you know, they're already saying that there's going to be a season two.
Oh, good.
I heard that. And I'm curious as to see how they do that.
I think they're going to
14 reasons.
Well, if you don't, if you remember, the show ends with Alex with a bullet to his head in critical condition, which so the end of that show really confused me because we see a bunch of different people with guns. We see the girl Jessica and Bryce playing with a gun. We see Justin take a gun from like his stepdad. Alex's dad is a cop. So I don't know if they were just, I don't know why all these kids were confiscating guns. I guess it was just to throw us off as to who was going to. You know, but they ended the show very openly in that Alex is in critical condition.
And And I thought that was interesting because I'm wondering if now this is like for Jay Asher to write another book or to open it up that he's going to write the script. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what's
What do you guys think that the show got wrong? Oh, sorry. My phone's still connected.
That's us.
I have a sneeze fart on my alert. And so,
awesome.
Really professional here. What do you guys think? Is there anything you think that the show got wrong? I know, Christina, you said that you wish that they would have put more resources up there. Dave, is there anything you saw that you were disappointed in? What about the role of the counselor? They kind of threw him under the bus. I mean, like Haas said, I think the show was good about showing how adults sometimes... Okay, no matter what job you have, whether you're a professional athlete or a bus driver or a school counselor, we all have bad days at our work. 100%. We all have bad days at our job. And the way that this kind of ends is that on the day that Hannah comes in for her last shot at not killing herself, she tries to go talk to her counselor. And it happens to be a day when her counselor is really distracted by other things. He's got things going on at home that he's preoccupied by. His phone is ringing. He does his best to make time for Hannah, but he doesn't exactly give her the best advice. And he kind of half-asses it, I would say. But she didn't come out and say to him, I'm going to kill myself. She was trying to talk to him about other things. And I think that the counselor kind of played it off as a, we'll talk about this more later, not knowing she was going to go home and kill herself. So what did you think? How do you think they portrayed the counselor in the show being one yourself?
Personally, if I have a student that comes into my office or somebody refers them into my office, it's going to be maybe a 5-minute conversation before we're going to get down to, are you having feelings of hurting yourself? I'm not going to mess around with the little blah, 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 blah about, well, how about this? And the little, like you said, the kind of the clever, you know, quips back and forth.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to get down to, and I'll tell my students I talk with, I'm going to be honest with you, and I expect you to be honest with me. Mm-hmm. It looks like you're struggling. Are you having feelings of hurting yourself?
Mm-hmm.
And just put it out there. And I'll, usually when you tell them, hey, I'm just going to put it out there, excuse me if I'm too blunt for you, you could usually see just kind of a relief. It's like, oh, good, I don't have to do all this back and forth play.
Right.
So that was one of the things that, in my experience, is I'll just come right out and ask them. I'll just come out and put it forward. I'll just come out and say, and I'll do a lot of, I'm going to say this and correct me if I'm wrong.
So you'll say it for them, which is because
a lot.
One thing that I'm starting to learn about teenagers, because as Rocky is becoming a teenager, you know, I do have Google to go to all these things for and be like, why is my kid so crabby or, you know, whatever. And, you know, kids that age cannot articulate what they're going through.
Right.
Like sometimes they're just mad for no reason.
Yep.
And so what really is your role as a counselor? Because I went through 4 years of high school and honest to God, never even knew I had a counselor. I thought my counselor was the person who scheduled my classes. And so I've got a friend, Meredith, who's also works in the same type of work that you do. And I know that she has talked many times about how emotionally exhausting of a job it is to have to see these kids and what they're going through. So on a day when you're at school, do you have like certain kids that you always have appointments to, or do people just bust in their door when they're pissed off because their boyfriend broke up with them and they need someone to talk to?
Yes.
All of that.
How does your role as a counselor work in the school?
A lot of what I do is working with special education, and that's where I work with your brother.
Mm-hmm.
and I have kind of a set caseload, but I also kind of interface with the general ed population.
Mm-hmm.
And also am kind of a resource with your traditional guidance counselor. So,
oh, guidance counselors who made my schedule.
Correct.
Right?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm a social worker that works in the building. So,
okay.
So I'll get more when they have cases come in and they need to talk about it or do more assessments, then I'll sit in on those cases.
And so are you who gets called if there is a suicide within your district when they say, like, counselors are available for the children? Are you who they call?
Yes. And there's a team of us. There's a psychologist I work with. Mm-hmm. We have the nurses that also do kind of do the medical aspect. So we'll always go in. You ask about, you know, that pressure. We'll always go in as a team, not just one person.
Right.
So because it's really the hard thing is when you're talking to somebody and you have to document and to sit there and say, just like with his phone ringing all the time, well, I got to stop and write this
right.
down. That's so horrible for, you know, to stop
counselor.
A kid
right.
to, you know, say, stop while I write this down. So we'll come in as a team so that one can be kind of the interview and kind of make that connection while other ones can kind of help mm-hmm. behind the scenes and work through it.
It something that, you know, the show like really kind of touched on was how you can really change someone's day just by being kind to them, you know, or going out of your way to be nice to someone. And it made me think of, so we just did a show in September during Suicide Awareness Week with one of my friends, Susan, whose son committed suicide when he was 19 years old. And she, one of the things that she said that just stuck with me was that the last thing, he didn't leave a note, but the last thing that they found of his was a receipt because he had gone to eat at like Subway or something, you know, just 2 hours before he took his own life. And his mom, oh, it makes me emotional. His mom then went after her son passed and she got a job at Subway because she just felt it was her job to be kind to people. And she like, she thought in her own brain, like, what if someone at that Subway would have smiled at him a certain way or done something to brighten his day that could have possibly changed his mind, which we know in 99% of cases won't happen.
With you working in a school, have you noticed, and I guess the obvious answer is yes, an upswing in not only attempts, but the way the schools will try to treat the general population of the school afterwards. When I went to high school, I'm almost positive my school averaged 1 to 2 suicides a year. There was always a in memory of page in the back of my yearbook, mm-hmm. and there was always someone there. And I'm nearly positive that I think out of the 8 people that I can think of off the top of my head, 7 of them were suicides. But we never had an assembly. There was never teachers telling us, you know, if you need help, talk to so-and-so and so-and-so. Life just went on. Like, we didn't talk about it. We didn't have any, there was no, like, if you need to speak to the counselor, go to the counselor. It was just like, yep, Johnny killed himself, and on we went. And I don't think that that's necessarily the right way, obviously. I mean, people are going to go through stuff, but at what point did you notice that there was the, I guess, maybe cultural shift in the way we deal with it?
Yeah, because now my kids, you walk through their school, there are posters everywhere that if you're being bullied, here's what you do. They even have a team at the school called Bully Blockers.
Wow.
Where, you know, but all of that, and I still see people complaining on Facebook, like, my kid was bullied.
Right.
But it's talked about now.
Well, it's a little different with the bullying and the suicide. With the suicide, for my job, my perspective, is I'm kind of like the front line of who that they'll either refer themselves or another student.
You're the first one that they see.
First then, responder.
Yes.
Yeah, right. So then my job is to do that quick assessment, to get a hold of the parents, to have that mm-hmm. ugly first
sure.
conversation, and then get them over to like Christina to right. then follow up. Because my job is to help them walk across the stage of graduation. It's
right.
not
right.
to be their in school therapist. And so
correct.
I need to link them up with.
So you're like the EMT and she's like the doctor.
Yes.
Christina, I want to talk a little bit about what you do for a living, because it sounds
sure.
like you have a pretty heavy job. So you are a family therapist.
I am.
So does that mean that families come to you for any, you know, for any reason for therapy, whether they've got crazy teenagers or a family going through a divorce or?
Yes. So I actually work with individuals, families, and couples. So a lot of times I will get a referral for an individual who, let's say, is like a 16-year-old. Mm-hmm. And then next thing you know, I have the whole family in there. And then the parents are saying, can we come to you for couples therapy? So it's you really see the whole system kind of at work. And mm-hmm. a lot of times, because I did write my dissertation on suicide, that I get a lot of referrals specific to suicide. So mm-hmm. when they're in a school and they're high risk, I get that phone call like, hey, can you meet with this client? Can you talk to them? And then, you know, I have a very open conversation, like Dave kind of said, about suicide as well. And I ask if they're having thoughts of suicide. And I tell them, hey, I'm going to ask about it a lot. We're going to talk about it. And my knee-jerk reaction is not to send them to the hospital. It's to really work through it. Because if we send someone to the hospital, we're giving them the medication, or we're trying to just, you know, hide the symptoms, when really let's address what's really going on so we can make that better.
Yeah, because one thing that the show did not really address at all was mental health.
Right.
I mean, they made it seem like, you know, Hannah would say, and this is why you're on my tape, when most people kill themselves because they have mental health issues.
Right.
I'm not an expert, but I would think that most level-headed people could take a little bullying and it's not going to make them take their own life. Does there always have to be some kind of mental health issue mixed in there with it?
Right. You know what's really interesting is in my dissertation research, what I did was I interviewed families who were survivors of suicide. So they've had a family member who died by suicide. And one of the fathers in my research actually said to me, you know, people don't kill themselves because their parents are getting divorced, or because they got kicked out of school, or they're getting bad grades, or they lost their job. He said they're doing that because they have no coping skills mm-hmm. along with a mental health diagnosis.
It's like a perfect recipe. It has to, like, a bunch of things have to come together for them to make that decision. It can't just be one thing or the other.
Like 13 reasons.
Right. Ah, see? One of the other things that I picked up on, because I have a cousin who went through this as well, was you look at two of the main characters in the show, Hannah and Jessica, mm-hmm. and they were both teenagers who relocated to new schools in the middle of being a teenager, and that's rough.
Yeah.
I have an older cousin who I idolize, and she's the coolest woman in the world. But her family relocated a ton during school, and halfway through high school, they relocated from Indiana to Connecticut, and she immediately, like, grades went through the floor. She would sneak out in the middle of the night. Yeah. She'd run away for a week at a time, hang out with her friends, start partying. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until after the fact that they started getting her counseling. And they're like, you can trace this all back mm-hmm. to you uprooting her from her friends, from her home of Indiana, and putting her in a new state, in a new school where she knew nobody.
Nobody. And especially at an age like high school.
Yeah.
Right.
That's really, really hard.
And I think that probably played in, and this is just me spitballing, I have no idea, I didn't write the book, but I would imagine that that's kind of part of the story, at least in this show, that doesn't really get a lot of attention. It does initially, because you see the first counselor bring the two of them and be like, okay, you two are going to be friends
now,
because you're both new here.
Yeah.
But then after that, it's like, just kind of glossed over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right that both girls did, you know.
And even, what's his name? He says, when they meet up with him in the coffee shop, he's new here too.
Right.
So they kind of become three friends.
So does that mean parents that have kids with mental health should think twice before relocating?
No, I think that can be a trigger for sure. Mm-hmm. I think if you're in a situation, and a lot of times it's armed forces, and like the parents are used to, okay, every 2 years we got to go.
Yeah.
But they're adults. And I think when you have a kid who's in such a formative time as a teenager like that, where you're really finding out who you are and your peers, when you rip everything away from that kid and throw them in the middle of a brand new pool and go, all right, swim.
Yeah.
That's rough.
Am I crazy, or did Hannah not show many signs of suicide to her friends during the show?
She actually did.
She did.
She showed a lot of symptoms of depression and warning signs of suicide. The poem, remember the poem in the class?
Yes. Okay.
So there were lots of things that were kind of out there mm-hmm. a little bit, but that's one of the main things too. While we may be aware of warning signs or symptoms of depression, I think you touched on this earlier, we're all kind of really consumed with our own lives. Mm-hmm. We all have a lot going on, and how many people do miss that? And you had talked earlier about being kind. I don't know if you're familiar with Kevin Hines. He is one of, like, I don't know, I'm just going to throw out a number, like 8 people, I don't know if that's correct or not, who have survived jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge. And he tells a story. He actually wrote a book, but he tells his story and he says he's like crying on the bus to the Golden Gate Bridge, and he's at the Golden Gate Bridge and he's crying and he's just saying, if one person just asks me if I'm okay, I'll tell them everything. I will tell them exactly. And this woman comes up to him and says, excuse me. And he says, yes, this is it. They're going to ask me if mm-hmm. I'm okay and if I need help. And instead she said, can you take my picture? He took their picture and then jumped.
Wow.
And so it does kind of go back to our own awareness of those around us. And one of my clients said to me the other day, which was very interesting. She said, you know, I really like when you ask, how's it going? Because I know you want to know the answer.
Right.
It's not just a generic.
Right. Because so many people will say, hey, how are you? And somebody will say, horrible. And you go, okay, that's great. See you later.
Yeah.
Like they don't stop and go, oh, wow, what's really going on here?
So with you working in like suicide assess and managing, can people bring their kids to you if they have concerns? And I would like for you and Dave both to talk a little bit right now about how people can get help. I would love for you to plug your business, things like that. And everything they talk about right now, I'm going to post at kellymano.com later today. So if you are like driving in your car, you don't have a chance to write it down, I will handle all that. But I want you and Dave both to kind of talk a little bit about the resources that are out there for people.
Sure. So I did not actually ask my work's permission to.
Okay, so we'll wait on that.
Right. So, but I can say that counseling is free, and this is really important to know, for St. Louis County and St. Charles County residents up until age 20.
So whoa, I had no idea.
Right. I feel like so many people don't know about that. It's included in your taxes. It's that Keeping Kids First grant. And so it's called the Children's Service Fund. And it's amazing because you can get free counseling. Now, the website, if you go to Children's Service Fund, it'll tell you what agencies provide the free counseling. But I think it's great to know that you don't have to pay that copay. You don't have to worry about your insurance. You can get this for free. And
so
it's
if they go
in.
To Children's Service Fund, that's where they can get information on getting free counseling for their kids up to the age of 20.
Right. And in St. Charles, it's actually called CCRB. And then in St. Louis, it's called CSF Children's Service Fund.
I'm just going to have you email me these links.
Yeah, I can totally do that.
I'm writing as fast as I can, and I know I'm going to get it all wrong, but I will have you email everything to me. And then also talk to your boss, because if you can plug your business, I mean, you seem lovely.
Oh, thank you.
If I ever need a therapist, you'll be the first one I call. But this radio show kind of is my therapy right now. So
right, absolutely.
Dave, what about for kids out there? Anything that they can do? Any special organizations you want to talk about?
In the school, we have to kind of stay away from plugging special organizations because mm-hmm. we can't,
right.
just the same
right.
way, we can't be the ones to say, you know, we'll back this therapist opposed to that therapist.
Right.
Right.
There are lots of the hotlines and the helplines out there. The thing that people don't do is when they don't go ask that next person.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That they go to a teacher, but that teacher doesn't do anything. Well, you go to another teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And getting them to keep asking, keep
don't
looking
give
for,
up
don't
if you persistent
if you don't give up. I never thought for a second that people that were ready to kill themselves were looking for someone to help. I just assumed that they had made up their mind and that was it.
No, there's a lot of ambivalence, actually. They kind of vacillate between I want to die, but wait, I think I have some hope that this could get better.
Right.
I also want to say too, real quick, that there is a hotline that's youth staffed mm-hmm. for teens. It's called Kids Under 21. I have the phone number. It's 314-644-5886. And what I really like about that too is that, again, it's you have to be 16 to 21 to answer the phones, and you get to talk to someone around your age about your problems and they can give you feedback.
Which is just
awesome.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And do you recommend, counseling for kids, maybe kids who are just going through hormones and things like that? I mean, is it good?
Absolutely.
Does your kid have to be suicidal to bring him to a therapist?
No. And you know what's counseling can be preventative. If we think that, oh God, I know that I'm going to be moving, or I know that my parents are going to be getting a divorce or whatever, go.
Right.
If we see a weird mole, we don't just ignore it.
Right.
Hopefully.
And it's kind of like with marriage counseling. People are like, don't wait until you're getting divorced to go to marriage counseling.
Absolutely.
You go to marriage counseling, to keep your marriage healthy, not because, you know.
Right.
So that does make a lot of sense. So I want to thank you guys for coming on, because this, you know, wasn't an easy topic to talk about. And I'm like, hey, random people on Facebook, come help me. But you guys did exactly what we needed. We needed somebody smarter than Hoss and I to sort this out. And I was really surprised to see that you guys both endorsed the show. So, you know, watch it at your own risk. If you've got older kids, you know, if you got teenagers, maybe watch it yourself first and make the best decision you can for your family. I know for mine, Rocky's way too young. He's right. Way too naive. We're not going anywhere near that. But Hoss, sorry I made you watch it. But
that's fine. I've watched worse.
So again, Christina and Dave, thank you guys for coming on. And Hoss and I will be back. We might do another show this week.
All right.
I know I say that and then I lie, but I feel like we got a lot to talk about. Lots going on.
We got a lot going on.
We really, really do. And I didn't even tell you guys about the rats that we got.
Oh, yeah.
Or my new Thug Life license plates.
I saw both.
You did. So thanks, guys, for coming on. If you like the show, share the show. Until next week, be good, have fun. Stay sassy, classy, and a bit smart-assy. Hoss, anything for the boys?
Just for people in general, there may be 13 reasons why you want to kill yourself, but there's probably at least 140 why you shouldn't. So always, yes. Always focus on those.
All right, guys, we will talk to you next week. Thanks for listening. 7 year itch. Some like it high to a fever pitch. Sandy, Danny, summer love. Pink ladies, tea, but the moon above. That's all in the past. Legends built to last. But she's got something new. She's a power girl. She's a da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Come on, fellas, place your bets, cause you ain't seen nothing yet. She's the top of the town, she's the best. Yes. Scary, raving, ginger, posh, sporting, yes, now that's all up. Where the spice goes, ready to go. Ladies and gents, can you please take your seats?
Thank you very much.